I'm Hannah, in case any of you don't know. I've got a lovely little daughter called Zara, who normally loves going to her group, and this morning decided to tell me, I don't want to go to Bright, Mummy. But I thought she might be a bit of a distraction if she was up here with me, so she's gone. Okay, this morning we're going to be looking at the next of our values that we're thinking about. Since Christmas, we've been looking at the values that are important to us as a church. And we've looked at God's presence with us and in us. Could we have the next slide, Sarah? Thanks. We've looked at worship as a church and as a lifestyle. We've looked at the Bible, God's living word within us. And we've looked at his Holy Spirit and his power and his presence in us. And all these values are things that we at St. Matt's want to characterize our lives and our collective worship when we meet together. Our vision statement at St. Matt's is igniting passion for Jesus. And this is based or comes from the Great Commission to go and make disciples. We're disciples of Jesus and we need our passion for Jesus ignited. And then we in turn can go out and make disciples of people around us and hopefully ignite in them a passion for Jesus. So that's our vision statement. And the values that we have as a church are based on the greatest commandment. And today we're going to be looking at something which I think we already have as one of our most important values, but which we can always try and do a bit better at, really, and that is love. Just a small subject that Chris has given me. Thanks, Chris. So, why should we strive to love God and to love others when most of the time, actually, that is really, really hard? Basically, because God commands us to, and because that's what we're made to do. I'm just going to read our reading again, Matthew 22. Verses 36 to 40. One of the Pharisees, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And those two commandments basically sum up the Ten Commandments that were given to Moses in the Old Testament. So to love God, to love our neighbour, and to love ourselves, that's what God commands us to do. And it's not optional, it's the greatest commandment. The world can give us a very distorted view of love, can't it? When we look at songs, films, TV, they all portray love as something that kind of just happens to us. We fall in love. It hits us suddenly, either when we meet someone or when we have a child, maybe. It tells us that it's a feeling that we can't really do anything about and that comes so easily and that generally makes us feel really amazing. And some of the time that is true, but I think we all know that most of the time that's not the reality and it's not really what the Bible says about love. However, one thing that the world and the Bible do seem to agree on is that we're made to love. As humans, we're made to love God and to love each other. When we're talking about love, we have to start with God. I'm going to refer to 1 John chapter 4 quite a lot today because it's all about love. Verse 16 says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. And Psalm 145 verse 8 tells us, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. So we've been created in the likeness of a God who is love. We've been made to be in a relationship with a God who can't help but love us. Everything about God's plan to save the human race and to bring us back to relationship with him shows us how much he loves us. Verse 10 of 1 John 4 says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. I don't want to dwell on this too much because I think that's next week's sermon. But just to say that God loves us enough to let his only son die in our place. He loves us enough not to want to let us perish, but to want to be with us for eternity. Let's just think about that for a minute. God wants to spend eternity with you. And he sacrificed everything to make that possible. That's amazing, isn't it? Back to the greatest commandment. So we're told to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. That means loving God with every part of our being. It's very easy to say, and it's easy to read that that passage and think, oh yeah, that's all right. But I think it's much harder to do. It's a bit easier when we think about what God's done for us first and how much he's first loved us. But how do we love God so completely? I think one of the ways we can do this is by putting God first in everything that we do and in every area of our lives. Nothing should be more important to us than God. The only way I can even start to get my head around that is to think about my love for Zara, my daughter. I want the best for her all of the time. I think of her needs and her wishes before my own, mostly. Most of the time. Our love for God should be even greater than our love for our children, shouldn't it? I should always be considering God first in everything that I do. And that sounds and is incredibly hard, but it's a bit easier when we think about it in the context of a relationship. As we get to know God better, spend time with him and build our trust in him, we learn to hear his voice, and our whole being and our whole thinking comes into line with his. A bit like, I'm sure we all know, some older married couples who finish each other's sentences or know what each other's going to say next. This takes effort and it takes time and energy like any relationship. We have to invest in it, we have to nurture it, and we have to help each other with it. Unfortunately, love doesn't grow on its own, and I'm sure many of us can testify to that in human relationships. And it's the same in our relationship with God. The more we spend time with God, the more we know about him, and the more we get to know him. And the more we know him, as the song says, the more we love him. So how do we do this in practice? I've got three things up there, and then I thought of another one, so I'll add that on the end in a minute. Reading the Bible. Reading the Bible helps us to know who God is, who Jesus is, how much he loves us. We need to pray. These are all, I'm sure, very obvious things that we all do already, I hope. Pray. The Bible says we should pray at all times and in all places, and that we should pray without ceasing. Prayer is basically just a two-way conversation with God. And in a perfect world, like in the Garden of Eden, that would be happening all the time. We need to make a conscious effort to think about God first as much as possible and to listen for his prompting. And the third thing I've got up there is to encourage one another, which we do on a Sunday morning at church. We do in house groups, we do in pods. And if you're not in a house group or a pod, I would encourage you to think about getting involved with one. And then the last one I thought of actually is singing. The Bible tells us a lot about singing praise to God. And a way that we can get to know God better and to be in a relationship with him is to sing our praise to him like we do on a Sunday morning. So we're commanded to love God with all our being, but it doesn't stop there. The rest of the commandment says we have to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. We're not only to love God, but we're to love others as we love ourselves. God's love for us, as Ali said, demands a response because it's so powerful and it's completely unconditional. And the way we can respond to that is to love other people. Back to 1 John 4, verses 11 and 12 say this: Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. I would encourage you, actually, if you can, after this, to go away and read 1 John 4, because it's an amazing chapter. Love is a fruit of the Spirit, and as we love God more and become more in tune to the Holy Spirit in our lives, he'll help us to see other people as he does, and to love them with his love. So before we look practically at how we can love other people and who we should be loving, I just want to pick up on the loving ourselves bit, because that sometimes gets skipped over. We shouldn't just love others, we should love others as we love ourselves. And I think this is something that we're generally very bad at doing. I'm not sure if it's the way that we're brought up, or our culture, or the media, but so many people don't love themselves. If we're supposed to love others as we love ourselves, then we need to start loving ourselves a bit better first. And that doesn't mean thinking that we're more important than other people or being vain or selfish. It just means valuing ourselves as the children of God that we are. It means knowing that we're loved and having confidence in our talents and our skills and in who we are. It means seeing our good bits and not just our bad bits. One way I've learned to make this a bit easier, and I'm still learning, is to try not to compare myself to others too much. Have you noticed that when we look at other people, we see all their good bits. And when we look at ourselves, we generally see the bad bits. And the more we compare ourselves with others, the more faults we see in ourselves, because we see that we're not like other people that we want to be like. Generally not very helpful. So in practice, the more we love God, the more we should see ourselves as God sees us. And therefore, the more we should love ourselves. And then the easier it should be to share that love with others. So, who should we be loving? Who is our neighbour? The short answer is everybody. Firstly, we should love other Christians, our church family. This sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Because we've all got the same faith, we all love the same God. But actually, it's a bit like our earthly families. We don't choose them. We love them because they're family, but we don't always get along with each other naturally. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells the church how to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. He says this: be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So Paul recognises that loving each other is going to take patience and won't always be easy. I know sometimes it feels like God sends people into our paths just to test our patience or to see how much we're actually willing to love. I think especially our children sometimes. Loving others is a choice, and it's one that we have to make continuously. So we need to love each other in the church. Who else do we need to love? I'm sure you probably all know where I'm going next, not only because it's on the screen. We have to love our church family. We have to love non-Christians who we like and get along with, but we also have to love our enemies as well. In Matthew 5, verse 43, Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbour and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." And then in verse 46, he goes on, "If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that?" Love is supposed to be hard. Back to 1 John 4, verses 20 to 21 this time. "Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." God's love for us is so unconditional and so undeserved that the response has to be to love others with the same kind of love. We can't allow ourselves to hate anyone or have bad feelings towards anyone if we love God, because he is love and because we're just as undeserving of God's love. None of us deserve the love that God gives us. And so we can't allow ourselves to not love other people. This kind of love for those who we're not supposed to love in the eyes of the world, for those that nobody else loves, can actually be an amazing witness to non-Christians around us. Excuse me. When Jesus was asked, who is this neighbour that we're supposed to love? He answered with the story of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan helped the Jew. These were two people groups who basically hated each other and should have had nothing to do with each other. And yet all the Samaritan saw when he passed by the man at the side of the road was somebody in need, unlike the religious leaders who passed by first. Which takes me nicely onto how we can love others in practice. I think often we're like those religious leaders. We're so worried about where we're going and what good things we have to be doing that we miss people right in front of us who actually need our help. Sometimes we think we're just too busy to stop. Jesus was never too busy for people who needed him. The love which Jesus showed people and which we're commanded to show people considers others first and is sacrificial. It means we might have to give up some time or some money or some emotional energy to help somebody else. We might have to change our plans and act spontaneously as the need arises. A couple of weeks ago, I was helping in Bright, which is the group for most of the children. We were talking about friendship and about how Ruth was a friend to Naomi. And at the end, one of the boys offered to say the prayer. So he got up and he prayed that all of their friends would fall over tomorrow so that they could all be helpful and be good friends to them. It was lovely. I'm not suggesting that we pray that everybody we know has hardship or pain so that we can help them. But I think the idea of looking for opportunities to help others is one that we can take hold of. That little boy just wanted to be able to be a good friend to people around him. We don't always see other people's needs, like I've said, because we get too busy. But we can pray for God to show us how to love others and to give us those opportunities and to open our eyes to see. If you want some inspiration for how to live a generous, loving life, you could have a look at the website I've put on the bottom of that screen. It's called 40acts.org.uk. Basically, it's something that you can do during Lent, and I've signed up to it already. If you sign up, they'll email you an idea a day during Lent of how to be generous to people around us and to love those around us. And I think the idea behind it is that they start a kind of revolution of generosity in our nation. And then all we have to do is to take those opportunities. Once we've prayed for God to help us, we have to take those opportunities. We're supposed to love like Jesus loved, and yet we never see Jesus getting scared or missing chances to help others. I think we often hold back because we're scared of what others might think of us, I know I do, or because we've been hurt before and we don't want to get hurt or disappointed again. And so we don't give ourselves fully to each other. And the last thing I put up there is don't hold back. And that brings us full circle, I think, back to loving God. The more we love and trust God, the more able we will be to love others as he loves us, unconditionally, sacrificially, and completely. I think actually we're pretty good as a church at loving people. I know when I first walked in here, however many years ago, there's immediately a sense of love in this place because of all the people that are in it. And I think we're very good at seeing other people's needs and helping each other out. But I just wonder if we could, as a church, choose again today to make this a daily decision to love God, to love ourselves, and then to love others. I think it'd be really good just to be quiet for a minute and to let God show us how much he loves us, because that's where it starts. This is love, that God first loved us. So let's just be quiet and let the Holy Spirit speak to us.